Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
You are now listening to the Philly Pod,
a Philadelphia sports podcast.
What's going on, y'all? Welcome to another episode of the Philly Pod, brought to you by thelibertyline.com. I'm your host, as always, Victor Williams. Be sure to follow on all podcast platforms if you're new to the show. If you're a returning listener, and always checking in to see the news and rumors of what's going on with the Eagles, we appreciate you guys for sticking around. We have a lot of stuff to get into today. We have the Devontae Smith contract extension that we all knew was coming at some point, but wasn't quite sure. The Eagles went ahead and got that done. We have a new tight end. We have Bill Belichick rumors, and we have pre-draft visits. It seems like the Eagles are looking to improve their secondary, upgrade their secondary through the draft, which is officially 1 week from today, so we will get into all of that stuff. Joining me, as always, you can follow him on all social media platforms at Stephen Conrad Jr. He is Stephen Conrad Jr., a couple days away from his 25th birthday, so be sure to wish him a happy birthday. If you follow him elsewhere or what have you, be sure to wish him a birthday, which is on Saturday, 2 days away, ironically on 420. Do you ever get any 420 jokes on your birthday?
Or, yeah,
or
really? Every day since like ninth grade, or every year since ninth grade, every birthday since freshman year probably.
And it's funny, do you partake in 420 festivities? Or
not really, honestly. I'm more of a booze type of guy, so
yeah, we'll definitely be getting into all that. We go to Nashville this weekend, and there will be beers galore going around. So this will be a fun birthday for
and
you.
And I will
be
wearing my AJ Brown jersey to rub it into all of the Titans fans' faces, the ones that ran him out of Tennessee.
Literally, run him out of Tennessee. The front office ran him out of Tennessee. The fans wanted to keep him, but then they turned on him the minute he got traded. And then
I'll show the haters here in Philly, the ones that wanted to run him out of here. I'll show you how badly those Tennessee fans probably miss him.
It'll be interesting. I'll be saying thank you for the superstar receiver at everybody that we run into. It should be a fun weekend on the heels of WrestleMania weekend a couple weeks ago. For those of you, I know a lot of you went. Even WrestleMania is always a fun type of year because Steven and I are more hardcore WWE fans, but even the casuals get into it this time of year. And seeing how Philadelphia did it, and you know, embrace WWE and how they hosted WrestleMania this year was phenomenal experience for us. We did everything possible, and the show itself, especially night two, one of the top manias of all time. And every day I wake up, I tell you all the time about the post show depression. This week I finally I'm getting over it, but that first week after Mania was tough to get through, coming off that high, and especially myself being a Roman fan. If you're a WWE fan, you'll understand, but me being a Roman fan and you being a Cody fan.
I don't even know if you need to be a WWE fan.
You really don't, actually. Yeah,
there will be ignorant people that will say stuff like, oh, it's fake, who cares? Well, the thing is, guys, WrestleMania, I don't have the numbers off the top of my head, but it always competes with the Super Bowl. In fact, it might do better numbers. Who knows?
WWE is a global thing, not unlike the NFL.
So, you know, I can relate to Vic from that. It's been over a week now, I guess. Yeah, over a week now since our WrestleMania trip, our first WrestleMania, fittingly enough, in Philadelphia. It doesn't get any better than that, obviously. But to put it into perspective for those who may not understand, I told you this, like, it's got to be equivalent to, I'd imagine, the Eagles being in the Super Bowl and you being there. But the only thing is, like, I don't even know if you can compare it to that because WrestleMania being in Philadelphia obviously attracted people all over the world, but I tell Vic this. I've told him this every single day since since that trip. There's just something different, something special about walking from those typical Eagles tailgate lots into Lincoln Financial Field, and it's fucking WrestleMania there. So just imagine like the Super Bowl, I guess, being at the Lincoln. Somehow the Eagles make it. I'd have to imagine that's the only comp. because, like, as much as I'd love to sit here and say, look, I guess what, the Super Bowl next year is in New Orleans, as much as I'd love to say, if I was able to somehow afford tickets, somehow find a way in that Super Bowl and the Eagles are there, as special, as fantastic as that night could possibly be, I don't know, man, because it's in New Orleans, and the Super Bowl, I feel like, is very, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, obviously, there would be a tons of Eagles fans that would go, and they'd cough up the money to go, but mm-hmm. the Super Bowl is just very, like, touristy, like, very corporate-y, if that makes sense. You know what I'm saying? The people that physically are in the seats. Again, I know, I'm not denying, I'm sure there would be tons of Eagles fans who would go, but, yeah. That's the comparison, I guess.
Yeah, it's more business oriented, where WWE is like literally the fans. Like, the fans took that city over, and I knew it was going to be nuts, but I couldn't imagine it was going to be crazy. I don't think, I tell people all the time, I don't think I'll have an experience comparable to that. Like, that whole entire experience, the main event.
Especially
everything.
If you're a Cody Rhodes fan.
Yeah, especially for the Cody fans. So happy for y'all. After last year's devastation, you got your triumph this year. So that was our soapbox thing about WrestleMania. Fun
wait,
time
after
if you were
what
able
devastation?
To go.
The Eagles season last year? Are you
last
saying
year?
This
no,
year?
No, Cody losing
this
year? Last year. Cody
well, come
losing
on,
last
this
year.
Is an Eagles podcast. Let's transition.
Yeah, the devastation, obviously the way the Eagles ended too, but the Cody losing last year. But this is the year of redemption for you anyway. Cody wins. The Sixers win a game that they literally never win last night from that play-in tournament game. A game that Doc Rivers would have lost by halftime. That 12-point deficit they're facing at halftime, if Doc was still leading this team, that would have ballooned to 20. The Sixers would have gave up, and that would have been that. And now it's the Eagles' turn for redemption, and they have the pieces in place to do so, starting with one of the most important pieces, one of the cornerstones of this team, and he knew it was going to be the minute they drafted him, number 10th overall back in 2021. And now, here we are with the Slim Reaper, Devontae Smith. The Eagles, at long last, finally agreed to a 3-year extension with star receiver Devontae Smith that will pay him $75 million, includes $51 million guaranteed. Steven, we were talking about, after all these extensions came, Landon Dickerson, Jordan Mailata, we knew Smitty was in the pipeline, so it wasn't shocking to us that this came. We just didn't know if they were going to pick up the fifth-year option first and then worry about it down the road or what have you, but they picked up the option and awarded him the extension all in one shot. So to lay it out for the fans, because I get a lot of questions on social media in regards to how, like, this contract kind of laid out, you know, in combination with his rookie contract, his fifth-year option, all of that. So 2024... this NFL season coming up is the last year of his rookie deal. 2025, next year, is when his fifth-year option is in effect. That is effective for $15.6 million. And 2026 is when his three-year extension begins. So in totality, it's a three-year extension worth $75 million. It's really a four-year deal worth $90.6 million that'll keep him with the team until 2028, until Devontae is 2029. And the way Howie Roseman was able to do this with the cap hits, now credit to the owner, because if Jeffrey Lurie didn't foot the bill up front for these players, other organizations don't do this, but credit to Jeffrey Lurie for doing it and being able to give Devontae a bunch of money up front so they can minimize the cap hits. In 2024, next year, Devontae's cap hit, $8.1 million. In 2025, $7.5 million. In 2026, his cap hit is $10.7 million. In 2027, $13.5 million. And then 2028, $20.1 million. Now, in 2029, it balloons to $35.1. I expect this deal to be restructured. He'll probably get a second extension by then. We don't know what's going to happen in the future. But the salary cap always increases, you know, this and that. A lot of things will happen before we worry about 5 years down the road. But as of now, this is a very team-friendly deal, Steven. And now A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith, from an AAV standpoint, average annual value, they are both sitting at $25 million per year. So there's no leverage for one of the other to say, hey, I'm wide receiver one. Devontae isn't going to chase being wide receiver one somewhere. I don't think he is anyway, but, like, from a financial standpoint, he has no reason to do so, because now we're sitting at $25 million equal to A.J. Brown. And now for the next few years anyway, both guys are under contract through at least 2026, AJ and Devontae. We're going to have these two guys for the next few years. And I think that's the big win in all of this.
I am out of words for Howie Roseman's ability to do this. I'm going to say something, and I know you are going to get a kick out of this before really talk like football. So I'm sure, you know, you Eagles fans, I'm sure some of you play Madden or have played Madden at some point in your life. Franchise mode has always been my go-to thing. I always think it's fun. It's realistic, you know, build your team, do whatever you want, make trades, realistic or not, whatever the hell you want to do, right? As I've gotten older, I've always found myself sweating franchise mode because, and even other sports games too, the NBA is another one, NBA 2K.
It's my personal favorite mode, franchise mode, because I don't play online or anything, and I don't do the ultimate team nonsense. So,
well, I sweat it because the salary cap situation, it's hard. Mm-hmm. And as somebody who, even at my age, becomes attached to players and wanting to keep the team together, like when you have good players, you want to keep them together, the ones that you do have, and then add on top of that, right? But you see it time and time again in sports due to salary cap, the salary cap situation in some of these sports leagues. Sometimes you got to let the beloved guy walk, you know, because you can't meet an agreement in numbers. And you sat here and spat out the Devontae Smith numbers. It's not my money. I don't give a damn. But Devontae Smith deserves to be up there with the highest paid receivers, in my opinion. Maybe not, you know, you want to sit here and argue, Tyreek Hill deserves more. This guy deserves more. Fine. So be it.
This is top 10 money. He's firmly top 10 highest paid receivers now.
He's young. Mm-hmm. He's played. I don't think he's missed that. Has he missed a game? He might have
missed his first one last year because he was blocking on that stupid ass third down screen that they called in the Giants game, I believe it was.
And have no missed fear. Kellen Moore is here, ladies and gentlemen.
Kellen Moore, thank God.
And what I'm about to say, when I say this, because I know there will be some people who take this in the wrong way, he causes no problems whatsoever in the locker room. And I just put that energy into the air. That is not me saying that his teammate causes it. Don't take that and put words into my mouth.
Don't spin
I love
it
AJ
now.
Brown.
Don't
I am wearing his jersey into Nashville, Tennessee this weekend because I love him. And that's the next wide receiver you need to lock up. I think he's under contract for like two more years.
Through 2026.
Howie might as well get on top of it now. I see all these I see all these graphics being tweeted out on social media. Devontae somehow making like one of these years. I thought I saw it's only an $8 million cap hit. Like what?
That was my graphic you saw. That was mine.
Probably was that one. $8 million? $8 million. How?
$8 million next season for the final year of his rookie deal. He has like
and you know
million
what?
Cap hit.
He's gonna probably play in the slot in Kellen Moore's offense, and I tell you what. I'm excited. I'm so excited, man. We have two. I don't care. They're both number one receivers, and
literally equal. When people say 1A and 1B, that's literally what it is. The money says that. The play says that. The skill level says that. And now they're going to be together. And this contract shows that they don't view each other one over the other. They are two two elite wide receivers who bring different skill sets in this offense that complement each other perfectly. And it's going to be even more so in Kellen Moore's offense. You brought up the slot thing.
It's probably a bad. I don't mean to cut you off. This is probably not a great example. Like, it's never great in any sport to use one game sample sizes or anything like that. But I come back to this, man. Like, numbers, we sit here and it's an Eagles podcast, so there's going to be numbers galore, stats, whatever the hell the case may be, where numbers are going to be brought up. But for me, I think the best judgment when it comes to players is how they perform under pressure. And I just can't, like something I'll never get over. And obviously, last season was a major disappointment for a lot of people in that organization, most notably the quarterback, Jalen Hurts. Mm-hmm. But what really sold me in the Super Bowl year, when we got there and lost to the Chiefs, was how great Jalen Hurts performed in that game. And in that game, I think we would both agree that might have been the best this offense has ever looked, honestly, in this era, just considering the opponent and circumstances and everything like that. Like, they did more than enough to win that game. Both receivers had over 100 yards. I'm pretty sure both Devontae and AJ had over 100 yards in that game, if I'm not mistaken, which is insane to think about. Like, there's teams who are like, man, if we could just have one receiver give us a 100-yard game. Biggest game of the year, Kansas City. I mean, their corners probably were better. Their secondary was probably better last year. But in that Super Bowl, to do that on that stage, fuck your price tag at that point, in my opinion. Lock those guys up. They're both young. AJ's in his prime. Smitty, I don't even think has entered his prime yet. So
barely scratching the surface. Devontae Smith. Devontae has the most yards of any Eagles player ever in their first three seasons with the team. Most receiving yards ever by an Eagle in their first three seasons, which is wild considering the team's history. A lot of people heading into this, a lot was made about, you know, can the team pay two receivers, myself included? How are they going to financially make this feasible? You know, this whole long drawn out thing and how he just does it and now it's over. Where teams like Dallas, not to bring up Dallas all the time, but Dallas,
here we go. This is what you need to hear.
CeeDee Lamb is literally holding out. I think he's not reporting. I understand it's voluntary workouts, OTAs, whatever, but CeeDee Lamb not reporting. And Jerry Jones giving no inclination to when he's going to pay CeeDee Lamb. And that just shows you the difference between winning and losing organizations. Dallas has hardly made any moves this offseason. They just brought in Royce Freeman, who I didn't even know was in the league until they made that move. So they brought him in here. I think they brought in, who was it, Eric Kendricks, I think they brought in. They're not spending any money this offseason. And now they're saying Dak Prescott might be a free agent next year because they're showing, no inclination to anything with his contract. So again, just different organizations on different levels at this point. Philly takes care of their own. They've historically taken care of their own. They always jump on the ball early. The deal was you could say the same thing about Jalen Hurts' deal. He paid those guys before Burrow.
I need to chime in when you're done here in a second. I'm a little amped up now.
Yeah. He paid those guys before Burrow and what you not. And then what did the Eagles do? They went ahead, paid Devontae Smith before Justin Jefferson, Jamar Chase, CeeDee Lamb, Amon-Ra St. Brown,
good point.
T. Higgins, Brandon Ayuk. All those guys. The Eagles are good at jumping on the ball and just shows you, again, different levels to different organizations.
I have two takeaways, actually. I'm going to dive into the one that you just brought up with getting on top of things, right? But like the quarterback thing they got on top of, the receiver thing they got on top of. The NFL, I'm not going to say it's a year-to-year league, but it's almost like every 3 to 5 years you see major changes, whether it's the salary cap, whatever the hell the case may be, right? Mm-hmm. I think we're going to start to see the running backs become, I'm not going to say like, dude, they're going to be paying, got a little distracted there.
Understand why.
Yeah, like maybe it's just the Saquon thing. Obviously, he's talented. He's Saquon Barkley, but I don't know. I could see a resurgence maybe. Maybe the running backs start. I'm not going to say they're going to get paid top dollar, whatever the hell the case may be.
They certainly turned a corner this year after last year.
It wasn't long ago. Like right before this era, maybe 3 to 5 years ago, probably 5 years ago, we were having a conversation almost identical to the wide receiver position. Mm-hmm. If you don't remember, like receivers have always gotten paid, but like we started having conversations, like we're talking like the top teams that are actually winning and competing for Super Bowls. Do you really need a top end wide receiver? Maybe you can just make it by with like a 1B type of guy on a team friendly deal, whatever the case may be. The NFL changes, man. Like I said, it's like a 3 to 5 year thing. So it's only a matter of time. Like you said, this whole contract thing will be reset and quarterbacks will be, they'll continue to make more money. The salary cap will keep rising. Like it's just how it is. There'll probably be a whole new offense in the NFL. You know, there'll probably be a new Chip Kelly who comes in and tries doing all this shit. Like it's just, you know, it's an ever changing league, evolving. So, that's how I feel about that. But really quickly, back to what you had said about the Dallas Cowboys. It's wild.
I know this is what you really wanted to say.
Yeah. It's just crazy because CeeDee Lamb was literally in the MVP race last year. Like you could bet him and it was like reasonable. He was like probably 5th or 6th on the list. I could be wrong. But I see a lot out there and I started believing it myself a little bit, but I'm here to shut it down. There's been a lot of direct comparisons and I can see why. Do you know what I'm going to say? Cowboys and the Philadelphia 76ers.
Oh, especially and, after the first half went last night with that Sixers.
Oh, my God.
A lot of Joel Dak comparisons.
I know, that terrified me. And I almost lost it on Twitter last night. I was in a dark place when we were down by like 13 points. I was about to literally send out
Halftime was a rough time.
I was going to come to the conclusion, though. You want to know? I was about to punt. Like, I was about to be done.
Oh, man.
Like, as a fan.
On the season or, like, the Joel Embiid era or just...
I was almost at that point, and Joel Embiid's my favorite basketball player, and I was like, you know what? I just don't think I can do this anymore. But anyway.
Let's get to that point. I was like, I'm done with this
you
team.
Had
they
to
let
think
me down.
That. You had
I was
to
close.
Think it, right?
I was close. Certainly close. It.
But he stepped in the fourth. He stepped up so big in the fourth quarter, and you can say, oh, it's a play-in game. Get the hell out of here. Dak Prescott can't even show up in a huge regular season game in the fourth quarter when it matters. But anyway, the other thing is this. Why that's not a fair comparison, because when the Sixers had, so over this past year, like when that whole James Harden fiasco went down and, you know, we lose yet again in the second round of the playoffs, all of us Sixers fans wanted change. We wanted major roster change. We didn't get it. The roster was relatively the same. They traded James Harden, but, like, you know, they brought in role players. That's every franchise does that. So they essentially ran it back like the Cowboys. But we didn't bring back Mike McCarthy, a.k.a. Doc Rivers. We got Nick Nurse in this bitch, all right? Mm-hmm. So that comparison is fucking bullshit. I don't want to ever hear it again.
They're just, I think they were coming from the standpoint of, like, exceeds expectations in the regular season, can't get it done in the playoffs. Like, that's just how it goes. And they were drawing those comparisons. And Embiid was catching it the first half until he showed up and took over in the fourth.
To so be thank fair, God though, that zone defense. Yo,
low key, Nick Batum might have saved, like, Joel Embiid's, like, legacy. Like, there was going to be a lot of things said about Embiid if that game didn't go the way it did. Like, at halftime, a lot of shit was being said about Embiid, really, and Nick Batum saved him. The same way Ray Allen saved LeBron in that finals. Man, Nick, obviously different, you know, circumstances.
Team sport,
but Nick Batum,
man. Team sport.
Nick Batum saved us. Saved Joel Embiid
special
from
teams,
a lot of slander.
Special players, you know?
A lot of slander Nick Batum saved that man from. So excited for that series. You mentioned the league always evolving, an ever-evolving league. One thing
really quickly, do you think...
Yeah, go ahead.
I have a feeling that zone defense that Eric Spoelstra deployed, it had to make Vic Fangio shed a tear a little bit.
Vic Fangio?
I mean, my God. What the hell was that? Apples to oranges. I mean, that guy...
You think Vic Fangio's watching a Sixers game? I doubt it.
What the fuck's he doing? Oh, he's in the lab, right?
He better be in the lab. One thing that will remain constant while the league evolves is the Eagles' offense, because they have 7 offensive starters signed until at least 2027. Jalen Hurts is signed through 2028. Devontae Smith is now signed through 2028. Landon Dickerson is here through 2028. Same with Jordan Mailata. Lane Johnson under contract until 2027. We'll see if he retires, not whatever. A.J. Brown until 2027, and Saquon Barkley is here for the next 3 years as well. So they got those main components of that offense locked in, and as long as everything goes well, there shouldn't be a whole lot of change in that offense. So good on the Eagles for doing that. But it is an expensive offense, Steven. Jalen Hurts commanding, obviously, franchise quarterback money, $51 million per year. A.J. Brown at $25 million per year. Devontae Smith at $25 million per year. Saquon Barkley is getting $12.6 million per year. Dallas Goedert is getting $14.2 million per year. So that is a high-priced offense that has to deliver before a lot of things are going to be said about them next season. But money well spent. You got to pay your players, and the Eagles are doing a good job of making sure this offense stays cohesive, consistent, and hopefully Kellen Moore gets the most out of them in 2024. Any last things on Smitty? Obviously, well-deserved money. Has Uber performed over the first 3 seasons, and again, just scratching the surface. And can't see on the last pod when I had Chris Franklin on, we talked a lot about Smitty. You mentioned it. Smitty in the slot should get a lot more slot opportunities in Kellen Moore's offense because he loves that third wide receiver. I think Kellen Moore's gonna see even more out of Smith. People are like, oh, CeeDee Lamb slot merchant. We might see some slot merchant Devontae Smith next year with Kellen Moore here.
Well, first and foremost, I mean, he's already become like a fan favorite, but it's just like...
Oh, for sure. He's like my favorite player on the team, personally.
Yeah, me too. He's quickly become like a favorite of mine. I think, you know, with Jason Kelce being gone now, I think there's more room, if that's a fair way to put it, for like guys to like kind of step out a little bit more, maybe in leadership roles, wherever the case may be. It's funny because he's like the most outspoken... Well, I'm not going to say the most outspoken guy, but... Everybody assumes he's like this quiet dude. He's more outspoken than AJ, I feel like. I see more clips of Devontae, like, saying
you see, like,
shit
the mic'd
the
up stuff. Like, the stuff that the team puts out. Like, well, like from a distraction standpoint, Smitty's not doing a whole lot.
Yeah, obviously. I'm not saying anybody's causing any distractions. But, yeah, I'm just, like, that's my thing, man. Like, it's one thing when you get a new, like, coaching staff and you're, like, an average football team, I feel like, and you're intrigued at what they're about to implement with everybody. But the thing is, the standard here is we were in the Super Bowl, you know, like we have elite players here on paper. It's a top five. God damn it, man. It's got to be a top 3 roster in the NFL on paper,
be.
In my opinion.
For the
it's
money, for the product, you got to be top 3.
You got to be. And honestly, the offense should be number 1 in the league, honestly. Like, I don't know whose offense is better than ours on paper.
No reason for it not to be. You can look at maybe...
Seriously.
You can look at maybe the Who am I thinking of off the top of my head?
See what I mean?
I don't know.
Everywhere. I don't see any holes on the offense.
Yeah, not.
There's
not
only
certainly.
One hole in the offense, and you know we're just hoping somebody can. It's not don't fair to say step into the shoes of Jason Kelce, but But again, like, it's still one of the best offensive lines in the league, and I have a feeling they might do some damage.
You can argue like Houston with like Stroud, Joe Mixon, Stephon Diggs now. Like you can argue like their offense.
And this is all on paper before everybody gets all pissed off.
On paper, CJ Stroud, Joe Mixon, Stephon Diggs. Who else is over there? Nico Collins, Tank Dell, Dalton Schultz. What was the Eagles' offense
the year we got to the Super Bowl?
I don't know where they were ranked. I know they had the number one pass defense, but I don't know offensively. They had top 10.
But again, like that offense was elite, and insert Saquon Barkley, man. You know, like just think about that.
Yeah. Miami's offense should still be good, right? Tua, A-Chain, Tyreek, those guys. Those are like elite offenses that the Eagles need to be, step for step with next season. I thought you were going to say one hole on offense is tight end too. But the Eagles went ahead and added a tight end.
Nice transition.
CJ Uzama agreed to terms on a one-year deal with the Eagles a couple weeks ago. He's 31 years old, been in the league for a little bit, played in Cincinnati for 7 seasons before spending the last 2 years with the Jets. His most productive season came in 2021 when the Bengals, of course, made the Super Bowl. He caught 49 passes from Joe Burrow that year for 493 yards and 5 touchdowns. He then went on to sign a 3-year deal with the Jets. Lost snaps to Tyler Conklin, and the whole deal blew up to, went up in smoke once Aaron Rodgers went down and finished 2023 on IR with the MCL injury. So now he's here. We'll probably compete with Grant Calcaterra, Albert O for the backup role in training camp. This probably puts a pin in the...
We lost Jack Stoll?
Yes, he went to the Giants. Yes, Jack Stoll is no longer here.
That's right.
But CJ Uzama is a capable blocker, so that's what they brought him in for. But not that this was
clearly a much better receiving threat than what we had at tight end too.
Well, oh, for sure, for sure, a better receiving threat, especially if we get Bengals version. But this puts a pin in the unrealistic option of Brock Bowers. Anyway, there was some slight.
What are you trying to assemble?
It was never happening. But like this ends that. There was a slight whisper of like, would they just load up on offense? You can't tackle this year anyway.
No
more hip tackles. Just load up. You can beat everybody 52-45 and deal with it.
You're changing the game at that point. It's becoming a conversation. It's almost like an NBA conversation where it's like, yo, you're putting too many all-stars on the court at this point. On the floor at this point. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you got the mouths to feed argument. Like, Saquon's going to command 20, 25 touches a game. You better for that money. You got two $25 million a year receivers. You're going to need to fill
the offensive line needs a touch
So is it Tyler? Are you comfortable with Tyler Steen at right guard now?
There's some hype behind his name. I thought I saw something out there.
It has to be. Like, you used the pick on him last year. It's time for him to step up. The two like realistic holes on offense is like right guard and wide receiver 3, I guess, because you have Devontae Parker and Paris Campbell. And then,
other thing. This draft class is so damn deep at wide receiver, man.
Yeah, you can get a good guy in, like, the third round. You can get some good guys in the third round. But CJ Uzama, we'll see
you
what he does.
You almost have to, because you're paying those top two guys all that money.
You can't pay a wide... Like, there was some Tyler Boyd stuff out there, but you pretty much have to rely on a rookie contract at the wide receiver 3.
Or Brittany Covey.
Oh my God, no! We're not going back to the Covey, to the Covey stuff. They might give him some run. You might be at a cheap deal. They might give him some run, but I can get behind bringing some guy in here. Malachi Corley, bring him in from Western Kentucky. I think he went. He's a nice little joystick. He has some good evasive stuff that can bring him in here. I would be about that.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Staying in line with the NFL draft, this might get you a little heated, Steven, because we talk off camera about this all the time, and we'll talk about what our ideal fits are. But the Eagles are certainly doing their due diligence with the top corners in this draft class. They hosted top 30 visits with both Alabama cornerbacks Kool-Aid McKinstry and Tyrion Arnold, as well as Iowa versatile defensive back Cooper DeJean. And for a little bit, I meant to yell at you about this a couple weeks ago in the last pods, but I was saying Cooper DeJean for like a lot of these episodes, and I found out his name is pronounced Cooper DeJean, and nobody corrected me. So I
don't know. I thought it was that too.
No, it's like Cooper DeJean. I was like, I'm hearing all these analysts talk about him. I'm like, damn, I was saying his name wrong though the whole time. But as far as Kool-Aid goes, a consensus top five corner in the upcoming draft would be a good, he's been battle tested at Alabama, as everybody is at Alabama. So he would be a good fit, will likely be available at number 22, where the Eagles currently sit. Tyrion Arnold, you would probably have to move up for him. People have him graded above McKinstry. He might be a top 20, top 15 pick, depends on how the Eagles view him. Tyrion Arnold had top 30 visits with the Titans, Falcons, Vikings, Cardinals, Lions, and Jaguars. But the most intriguing fit, in my opinion, Cooper DeJean, who, first of all, he only had 4 days available for top 30 visits because he had to do combine rechecks, check out his broken leg, and all this. But the teams he decided to meet with, Steelers, Seahawks, Bills, and Eagles, and the interest is very mutual. And I feel like Cooper DeJean and his versatility to play safety well as cornerback. And I know we got CJ in here, and you got Sidney Brown in here, and Sidney Brown probably won't play until 1 month into the season anyway, coming off the ACL. And you have some versatile pieces. But if you have CJ and Cooper DeJean back there, and you got these chess pieces you can move around, I feel like he is the best fit for what Vic Fangio asks of his defensive backs, personally. I talk to you about
you
this every,
to use the F
every
word.
Day.
Stop.
Every day. I tell you,
you just
about
use
this.
The F word.
What? Fangio?
No, there's an F. Yeah. Another F word similar to it. Fit. Fuck your fit, man.
Oh, my God. If you don't want to draft people for schematic fit? No? Especially on defense? What do you want to do? What would you rather do then?
BPA.
Best player available. All right.
Yep.
Well,
Would you rather have
so Cooper DeJean is here and some other corner is here who doesn't fit what Vic Fangio wants. You're taking the better.
He's a stud. Fuck your scheme.
Okay. All right.
Are you kidding me? Give me the best outside corner available. He's going to shut down the other team's best receivers. I don't care if he can play five different positions in the secondary. It's all
you want
bullshit.
You want the Toledo guy.
Absolutely,
Quinion Mitchell.
Beast.
You want Quinion Mitchell?
Yes.
So you'd rather move up.
You know what?
You'd rather move up for Quinion Mitchell than stay put and draft Cooper DeJean. Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, and the other thing is this: if I'm gonna, headset unplugged.
So mad you're ripping out cords over there. Can't even hear anything. I just think DeJean's versatility makes him intriguing, and I think Vic would know what to do with him from a defensive standpoint, especially when you're loaded up on offense and you have defensive players in play. I just think DeJean would make sense. You're so mad you're ripping out cords over there. Go ahead.
I ripped my cord out of my headset on accident. The other thing is this: if I'm drafting an Iowa athlete and it's not Caitlin Clark. Bye. Cooper DeJean, get out of here. He's got injury concerns. Come on, man. This is screaming.
His broken leg's fine. He checked out. He passed all his out.
You know what? I may be wrong, but I see this shit all over my timeline, and I'm just scared. I think we have another Kyle Pitts situation on our hands.
So, oh, man. Universal chess piece, Kyle Pitts.
I'll pass on that one. Now, would I be mad if we drafted him? No, but again, I like the Jalen Carter pick. I like the Devontae Smith pick. He may be a great football player at the next level.
He is a great football player.
There's questions about his ability to play on the outside.
Says who?
Says scouts. Okay. Not idiots on Twitter, right? I'm talking NFL scouts. I'm talking guys who put hours in. I'm talking guys like Greg Cosell, Stephen Conrad Jr.
Daniel Jeremiah. Yeah, let's get some other names. Oh, man. His pro day was amazing. Like, he ran a 4.42 40-yard dash. He had a 38.5 vertical jump.
Oh, yeah, great. Kyle
Pitts did, his pro day results, his private pro day, because he missed Iowa's pro day and the combine and the Senior Bowl with that broken leg. But his private pro day put him just outside the top 1% of cornerbacks since 1987 in athleticism testing. You don't ignore stuff like that.
You don't ignore athletic tests.
What happened when we ignored dominant athlete DK Metcalf? Now look where that got us. Obviously, we have receivers now. But look where that. I'm not ignoring pristine athletes.
You want to talk about
BPA and scheme fit? From an athleticism standpoint, I'm still taking Cooper DeJean. If you want to look at straight athleticism
over
and
those corners
skill,
you named.
Over, well, you have to move up for Quinion Mitchell. You would have to move up for Terry Arnold. Would you take him? Would you take Cooper over Nate Wiggins out of Clemson? Would you take Cooper DeJean? Would you take Cooper DeJean in the first round, or would you wait and take Javon Ballard out of Georgia? I know you like him. You want to wait till the second round and pick him? If he's even there, I don't know if he's there
at that
point.
That's very risky.
Cooper makes sense. Okay, Cooper. Okay,
because what if one of those tackles falls to the Eagles, or maybe one of the edge rushers?
I'm saying strictly from a defensive back standpoint. If the Eagles sold on taking defensive backs, so here's the situation: they're at 22, Kool-Aid is available, DeJean is available. Who are you taking?
Kool-Aid.
Okay.
Okay, man.
I wouldn't be mad with that pick either. I wouldn't be mad at that pick either. I'm just saying.
I might be wrong. He might be a total stud, but it's great. He's tested.
What has you so like not sold on Cooper though? You seem really like pessimistic about him.
If you're gonna draft a guy that high, he better be able to go on the fucking outside and guard. We were embarrassing in the secondary last year. All this versatility bullshit. Oh, he tested good. How does he guard? How does he cover?
We know how he covers. He covers well. What do you mean? How does he cover? Cooper DeJean is one of the most.
Come on, man.
And we all know that Vic Fangio loves versatility. If you are not flexible in that defense, then Vic Fangio can't use you. Which is probably why Hassan Reddick's not here anymore. But that's neither here nor there. I just think, which is why it's going to be curious to see if James Bradberry remains on this team too, because it's not like the Eagles don't have corners on the roster. You have Bradberry here, who's still on that contract. You have Eli Ricks. We don't know what's going on with Isaiah Rodgers yet. I see some players coming off the gambling suspended list. We'll see if Isaiah Rodgers' name is on that list. But man, I just like what Cooper DeJean brings. Last year, here, you want me to sell you on this guy, Cooper DeJean? Last season, 388 coverage snaps, 0 touchdowns allowed, 2 picks, 4 pass breakups, only allowed a 37.8 passer rating when targeted by opposing quarterbacks. Bring me Cooper. Cooper and Reed Blankenship will create the Milky Way secondary, and I will be here for it, and you can print out those shirts. So this is where I'm at. Won't be mad with Kool-Aid if they go Kool-Aid, but I really think that they go defensive back in the first round. I think they really want to improve a secondary that was ranked 30th last year. I think that's where their focus will be in the first round anyway.
For the record, I wouldn't be upset if they drafted Cooper.
Sounds like you would be.
I just, needed to combat it a little bit, because then if we draft him and he doesn't work out, we can come back to this podcast and remember I've warned everyone.
Yeah, we could.
Also,
can I just
ask, what the hell's going on with AJ Brown and the Patriots shit? What's this all about?
What do you mean? What's going on?
So I guess apparently he changed his profile picture. I don't know if it's on Twitter or something, to a picture of Tom Brady.
Maybe he just respects Tom Brady. What's the
and
draft?
He cleared the air on it, and now people are like, recently followed Jacoby Brissett and KJ Osborne.
Yeah, there's no way, bro. There's nothing on Twitter about it.
Why would he do that?
Bro, yeah. We just got done saying how this man isn't causing distractions. Now what are we doing?
If I put this dude's jersey on...
AJ Brown updated his IG profile picture to a photo of Tom Brady. He grew up a Patriots fan. He's still following the Eagles, Smitty, and Jalen for those worried about his recent profile pic change. He just followed Jacoby Brissett, KJ Osborne on IG... Also changed his profile picture to Tom Brady. And New England de facto GM Elliot Wolf said today that the team is in trade talks for receivers.
Who said they're?
I don't think the Eagles can afford to trade him. Like that cap hit is ridiculous if you trade AJ Brown. No,
what are they talking about?
Why do we have to?
Why would the Patriots trade for him?
Well, I mean, because they missed out on drafting him, they took N'Keal Harry instead. Let me. If the Eagles were to trade. Bro, that dead cap hit is $50 million if they trade AJ Brown. Oh, I'm sorry. Really? It's $44 million if you trade AJ Brown. There's no shot in hell they're doing that. I don't know why AJ just likes to do stuff on social media to stir up stuff. I don't know what the deal is, but there's no way they trade him. Not after what Smitty just said about AJ. Do you honestly think after Smitty got paid, AJ went to the front office and said, that contract shows me I'm not the top guy anymore.
I'm not saying that at all.
No, I'm asking, not you specifically. I'm just saying, I'm more so speaking, outright. There's no way. I'm not entertaining this. Speaking of the Patriots, since that got brought up, a report came out recently. A collaborative story, rather, on ESPN came out earlier this week detailing Bill Belichick's exit from New England and his subsequent job search. According to the story, Jeffrey Lurie and Howie Roseman are both huge fans of Belichick, so much so that Lurie asked a confidant about Belichick, and league circles even believe that Belichick and Philadelphia could be a good match. Now, apparently, Howie Roseman told ESPN that a conversation was had with Belichick, a check-in to see how he was doing, after he was out in New England. A source close to Belichick confirmed that there was no talk during the call about potentially working for the Eagles. And then the Eagles opted to obviously...
Patriots, right?
Yeah, and obviously the Eagles decided to stay with Sirianni. And if you bring in Belichick,
Maybe A.J. Brown's trying to infiltrate within the Patriots organization because secretly he's thinking, maybe Nick Sirianni can't be the head coach. I can get some information on Bill Belichick. I'm kidding. Carry on.
It is weird energy. Even when I watch Sirianni in press conferences and they ask him about the offense and he's like, it's Kellen's job. I'm not involved. And now as I watch him, I'm like, is Sirianni I try to read his body language and how he feels about all this and kind of what his role is within the organization. But if you bring in Belichick, it's pretty much a no thing. You got to build from the ground up again. You got to get his guys. You got to do this, which is why the Eagles stay with Sirianni, because you're this close to greatness already. Why rebuild from the ground up and break this thing down if you bring in Belichick, who's likely going to want control of some sort over roster and personnel decisions and what have you. So what do you make of that story that they talked about the well-being of the coach, but apparently nothing was made of potentially working together? When you saw the support, what was going through your head?
I don't make anything of it. Of course they talked. Next question.
All right. Well, anybody who had a vacant opening was interested in Bill Belichick, and even the Eagles who didn't have one.
Why do you think I just did that?
But we're considering moving off the coach. Obviously, had interest in Belichick, but
yeah, I mean, if you want to put stock into that, yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's like equivalent to stop. What are you doing now?
Go ahead, Tom. I'm just looking more into this.
No, it's just equivalent to when you hear something about a team that has a QB in place, sort of, but then you hear that they're quote unquote monitoring the situation on another quarterback. If that makes sense, like a potential trade, it's the same thing. And then nothing happens. Is what it is.
Should the Patriots trade their second round pick for wide receiver AJ Brown? My God.
Wait, who said that?
Just now, mock trades are gone out and all this. Man, it don't never all day, man. Right when you think, all right, I just got done saying on this podcast that the offense is set, don't got to worry about it. AJ and Smitty will be together for the foreseeable future, and now we got this. I honestly think AJ is just being AJ is the way I'll word it. I think I think that's the way it's going. But Smitty extended will be here until he is 29. AJ is here, regardless of what he might post.
Do you find it weird how people are onto this shit though? Who the fuck is looking at AJ Brown's Instagram?
Oh, dude, do you not understand how investigative the internet is? The minute any athlete does anything, especially a high profile one like AJ Brown, they are on top of that shit.
Yeah, but he hardly posts, and it's not how I think Facebook still does it. You know when you would change your profile picture back in the day,
yeah, it's
Facebook
not like you get
would notify everybody. Yeah, it's kind of strange. I don't fucking know.
Somebody's always watching, man. Somebody's always watching. It's weird. There's a lot of football fans out there, and somebody's gonna catch it. And the internet spreads like wildfire.
AJ hasn't posted. I follow him on Instagram. I feel like he hasn't posted in a long time. It's been a long time.
He does sponsors and stuff like that. And he posted a picture. He posted a screenshot of some song he was listening to on Spotify. But I highly doubt this man was rubbed the wrong way by Devontae's contract. Damn, that was hard to say. I just don't. But people latch on anything, and now we got to deal with this. So, man, why we got to do this? Just why is this after that?
I'll be so hearing about fucking this. Pissed. I'm going to have his jersey currently on in the airport, and I'm going to get a
people are noti. Sending me tweets with eye emojis now, and now we're not going to hear the end of this. Why? Why? Why do we have to deal with this? My God. Thank you guys for listening to another edition of the Philly Pod brought to you by thelibertyline.com. I am your host, Victor Williams. Thank you guys for checking it out. Be sure to subscribe on Apple, iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Odyssey. We're on now, so be sure, if that's where you get your shows, be sure to subscribe over there. Steven, be sure to wish him a happy birthday. He turns 25 on 420 in 2 days. We'll be in Nashville. Probably won't know his name for much of that day, but be sure to wish him a happy birthday. Anyway, big things coming for the show. Big things coming for the website. As always, follow me at the Philly Pod. Follow Steven at Real Steven Conrad Jr. The NFL draft is 1 week away. We will have another episode out before
then. This is it, man. This is the
beginning.
About
the mock draft. Here we are. What we think is going to happen within that draft. I think they go defensive back. Maybe they go edge rusher. Maybe they go offensive lineman if one falls, since we still have that opening at right guard. Cam Jurgens has Jason Kelce's locker now, so we can put to bed any Jackson Powers Johnson, play him the center, keep Jurgens at right guard. That's out the window.
Yeah, they're not
Jurgens
even scouting him, huh?
Not even scouting him. Jurgens
has
Jason
Kelce's
locker.
I feel like he's mocked around
top 20, 25. He's mocked around that in that area, but he's the best center in the draft by far. And people are like, you can draft him, you can keep Jurgens at right guard, but you drafted Jurgens specifically to play center. He's been studying Kelce for years now, so there's no reason not to. So we'll see what they do. But until then, guys, we'll catch you guys on the next one. Peace out from the Philly Pod.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.